Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball Tonight. I am joined by James Christopher, and we are going to talk about the Astros heading to the seventh straight American League Championship. James, how you doing, buddy? How's your heart rate?
Well, first, I want to send a shout out to my paramedics who were so kind as to get me revived. Look, this series was stressful, which makes it fun. I think the Twins aren't as they're not what their record indicates. That's a good baseball team with a really good foundation. And I do a show with a Yankee fan and she's like, what a great game. And I'm all like, this is awful, but thank you so much for enjoying. But you know, Rob, you and I have been fans for a long time, seven straight ALCSs. I'm betting that 5 year old, you never would have thought this was possible.
No.
Yeah.
Whenever we were in the first round of the playoffs, it didn't click to me. Well, this is our first round, actually. It didn't click in my brain that if we beat Minnesota, we're in the ALCS. And I was like, wow, we're already there. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. And, when we did it despite the hindrance of those days off, because apparently that's now a thing that we're talking about. But yeah, it's and we know how up and down the season's been. And we also know that it was up and down at the beginning, largely because it was Sugarland Space Cowboys for the most part for a lot of those games. And so to see what the team has done, particularly when the chips are down, there's been that comparison of the 2000 Yankee team that kind of just sort of sleptwalked through the season and then got hot at the right time. And if you think about it, if you go back to the end of the season, they played six playoff games before the season ended, and then they played four, and they are what, 10-2 in those games. So I think my math is wrong, but whatever. I went to film school. Either way, it's a team to really be proud of.
It really is. Going through the season, it's like I was positive. I was like, just keep your head up, folks. We'll be fine. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, is this really the team? Like, are they really going to be able to put it together? Like, I believe in them and I trust them, but was I fully in on this? And then when you go to the playoffs, you see it. And I mentioned this to somebody after they lost game two in Houston. I was like, I'm not worried at all. They're the Road Warriors. Like, they're going to go to Minnesota and take care of business. That's what I said. But pitching wins championships, and our pitching was great in this series. One run on three hits and two runs. They on three hits tonight, three runs on six hits. The Minnesota Twins had six hits total against our pitching staff in this two games in Minnesota.
And I think that we have to also Urquidy, his last two outings, which have been two high pressure outings, has looked very good. And and I think, for as much as I was really wanting a different approach to this game of almost like, or could you get one round through the order and then we're going to go to France and we're going to keep them off balance, I started to think, if there's a game seven, at least you've got a fully rested bullpen now. And it turns out you didn't need it, but Dusty obviously knows a lot more about baseball than I do. And I hope your ratings don't go down because I said that, because I don't know how some of our fans.
Hey, I always back Dusty. I don't care. You know, I back
them. Yeah.
I back Dusty and Maldi on this podcast. So whatever.
And it's like, can you criticize them? Yes. It doesn't make them awful people or terrible at their job. And I think it's funny, Rob, because I've been asked to do other shows. I do yours because I think, well, you're a really nice guy. But also it's like, I can't deal with this knee-jerk reaction to whatever happened most recently is how it's always been, instead of taking a very macro view of, because part of me was even like, maybe this isn't the year. Maybe this is the year where they don't go as far and they need to kind of get fresh legs and come back next year. And clearly it hasn't been that so far, but definitely just tickled over here.
Yeah. I said that all along. It's kind of like, I guess it was like my backup plan. It's like, if they don't do it, just remember, guys, We've been to 6 ALCSs in a row, 4 World Series. We won 2 of them. Like, we have something to be happy about. So don't hang your head. But anyway, I was going to ask you this, like, through the season, Hunter Brown, JP France, they were awesome, you know, filling in for Urquidy and Luis Garcia when they got hurt. But at the end of the season, on this podcast, you know, JP was struggling, Hunter was struggling. And I'm like, dude, Jose Urquidy has pitched in World Series. Like, this guy has ice in his veins. Throw him out there. And they threw him out there in one of the games in the last series. He looked good. And then he did awesome today. So it worked out great.
Yeah, and Urquidy, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't know he was starting that game against Arizona. It was like a family emergency for JP France.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, again, people are down on Hunter Brown, but I think that he pitched like 70 more innings than he's ever pitched. He's looked good in relief in this past series. But, you know, I understand it where being a gamer isn't tracked by any analytics, right? Like, you can't just say, I know you've got a 450 ERA, but we know you're good when the money's down. But maybe at some point we just get to start trusting that that's the case about a lot of these guys. Like, it's, you know, when you're forced under pressure, and Urquidy's know nothing but pressure, considering how he was called up and everything he was asked to do, maybe just having a little bit more faith in him. And, you know, to me, I think Javier did it yesterday too. You've got to feel pretty good about your starting pitching, at least into this next round.
Yeah. Those are two guys that I don't think most fans had any confidence in at all. Mm-mm. It was all JV and Framber. They got a win. But in this game, I mean, he gave up 2 solo home runs, 1 to Lewis, and then 1 in the 6th inning, I believe it was him. But I think in the bottom of the 1st, there was a double play. There was like this unassisted double play, and that could have been a 2-run homer, and we might still be playing.
And I think you saw some of that with Javier yesterday, where the defense kind of bailed him out a little bit. And then it's almost like it gave him that breath to be like, okay, now I've got a defense behind me. I can be a little bit more relaxed. Cause I was impressed because Urquidy didn't walk a lot of guys tonight. And sometimes he can get himself into some trouble with walking people. And what the old adage is, solo home runs can't beat you. And I think that proved itself tonight, considering Abreu, who all of a sudden is just the offense now. Like, he's just going to do whatever it takes to win baseball games. It's been crazy.
He's somebody that got slandered throughout the year. Like, he's not worth the money. And it's like, this guy has like 88 RBIs. What are y'all talking about? Like, well, just because he's not hitting 300 and he has 120 RBIs, you're disappointed. But look, he showed up in the playoffs.
But that's what I mean. And I think that's part of it, where if you go back to January, whenever he was signed, everyone was fired up. And then he struggles for the first 2 months, and now everyone's saying, well, I told you he was a waste. No, you actually didn't. And sometimes these work out. And clearly he was hurt because he comes back off the IL, and now he's just raking. Yeah. And now look at that lineup. How do you pitch to that lineup? You pitch to Tucker, I guess, because he's the only one not hitting right now.
Yeah. I think today, Altuve, there's so many Jose's. Altuve and Bregman went 0 for 4. Both of them did. But Michael Brantley showed up. He had a home run tonight. That was big. And then Yordan tonight didn't get a home run, but he got on base to make Abreu's a 2-run home run.
It was, no home it was run.
Big. It was big.
We should just cut him on the – don't even let him on the plane. He didn't hit a home run tonight.
So, Urquidy, 5 2/3 innings, only 3 hits and 2 runs. He only had 1 walk. So, you were right. He didn't walk very many guys. And he had 6 strikeouts, gave up those 2 solos. Neris came in and finished the 6th. Abreu – 2 strikeouts, and Presley. It just felt like Presley was going to blow this. And then it, like, when he tripped, you're like, is this guy hurt? And then the guy was lights out. The guy's a star.
And it's that recency bias, because we've seen games get out of control. But we forget how good he is. What is he, like 13 for 13 now in postseason saves?
It might have been more than that.
It might be more than that. Yeah. And to see him, I enjoyed this series a lot, because Twins fans have been really fun to interact with. They remind us of our fans a little bit, but also I ended up listening to the Twins home broadcast yesterday, because I was driving around and it was what I could get on XM. And I don't know, I thought it was a lot of fun playing them. And you almost feel bad for whoever it was that looked at strike three, like down, because he's going to think about that pitch for the next 4 months.
Oh, yeah.
If not longer. If not longer.
For the rest of his life, probably.
Maybe for the rest of his life. If they don't win something, for the rest of his life.
So one thing that happened today that my wife really enjoyed was when Carlos Correa grounded out. I mean, not grounded out, but he lined out to his heir apparent, whatever heir apparent, he is, yeah. JP3. And he was livid. I think that ball was 109 miles an hour off the bat, and JP3 caught it. Good. That was an amazing moment.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't appreciate the booing of Correa because that guy left everything out for this city. But, again, it was just a very competitive, really good baseball series where 1 inch or 2 inch, one way or the other, and it could have been a lot different. I mean, 1 or 2 inches one way, another could have been a sweep. 1 or 2 inches the other way, we could, like you said, could still be playing. So, as a baseball fan, you can't ask for much better.
What about the drama in the ninth inning? With it seemed like every hitter in the ninth inning was a full count. I don't know if it was or not, but it seemed like it. And you have Carlos Correa looming, you know, as if anybody gets on base, Correa is going to come up.
It's going to end the damn game. Yeah.
After two outs, Correa's there on deck, and you're like, uh-oh. If we get to him, there might be a big moment for him.
Well, I was afraid of that, especially when but a lot of those 3-2 counts started out 0-2. And I guess I'd rather him bury three pitches instead of giving him something to hit on 0-2, but you're almost like, can we just give me a break for a second? You know, I'm not a young man anymore. But
so let me ask you this.
I'm proud of this team. That's all I can say.
Let me ask you this. This is something I've said recently. Like in the past few years, we have a comfortable lead for the most part. Mm-hmm. And we're not scoreboard watching. We're not seeing if this guy loses so we can win the division, or if this guy loses so we can be the 5 or 6 seed. What did you think about it? I thought it was fun. It was a little nerve-wracking. But it made the end of the year a lot more fun.
I agree, right? Like the fan in me prefers a 20-game lead, but
it's the Astro fan, right, versus the baseball fan.
But as the baseball fan, no, that's what you want. And I felt like with this year, this was all the advertisement you need for the additional wild card rounds to see cities still in it. I mean, like Arizona. I mean, look at what Arizona's doing right now. Last time I looked, they were up 4-0 on LA, yeah, and probably it might sweep them. Yeah. Well, they're the 6th seed. Like, and to see they were the 6th seed and they look depressed those first two games against Houston, I think that I understand baseball purists, but if this is what we're going to get out of that, having those extra wild card rounds, we're going to get cities that are still way into it. You feel for Baltimore fans, but, you know, that felt just not ready for prime time yet. You don't know what they're going to look like later, but no, I mean, it was exciting. It really, really was. And, you know, you got to give Service credit for playing his guys in that last game when he didn't have to. And there's no love lost, right, between the Astros and Scott Service.
Oh yeah. So, they had us in their hand. Like, we'll just let Texas win.
Oh yeah. They could have easily done that. Where Texas just forgot how to hit the baseball. So
yeah, that was not, he could have sat everybody out. He could have lost on purpose. But yeah, you mentioned the Diamondbacks are up 4-0 on the verge of sweeping the Dodgers. And then, like, I had predicted the Phillies over the Braves. I don't know if you see my little TikTok account I got going.
I do, yeah.
But they were irate. The Atlanta fans were irate, like, bringing my wife into it and everything. And it's like, why?
Just because I picked the Phillies. Really?
Yeah, they called my wife a mail order bride.
Oh, my. What, Rod?
But it's fine. It's fine. I laugh it off. It's no biggie.
Well, but first of all, that's a certain degree of clout you've reached because no one's making fun of my wife. So there you go. I get 2 likes on the TikTok and they move on. So there you go. Philly looks tough.
Yeah.
And Bryce Harper, like those 2 home runs tonight and staring down the shortstop that mocked him. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't poke the bear of one of the best players to like ever do it. But, you know. You're going to learn the hard way.
I think the first round when Philly played at home and I heard the crowd, that's why I picked them. I was like, they're going to be tough to beat. They're going to be really tough to beat. It was tough for the Astros to beat them, but it could be a rematch of last year's World Series. I just can't see the Diamondbacks getting there, but they could. I can't see it. It's hard to see.
I do wonder if they have enough. Philly just has a lot and seems to be peaking at just the right time.
Yeah.
And really and truly are one really amazing play away from sweeping, having swept the Braves. So, you know, that's baseball, but that's baseball. So,
and going into this series, if you're just the, not really the casual fan, but you're not a fan of the Astros or the Rangers, and you just happen to be watching the playoffs, you're probably thinking, man, these Rangers are going to steamroll the Astros. Like, they look so good. But the Astros won 9 out of 13 times this season. And this playoff series starts on Sunday.
They won 9 out of 13. And I think the most important part of even that stat is, I think they won 9 of the last 10. I believe the Rangers swept that first series. I have to double check that. But, you know, look, I don't like to get too above my head and like try to predict things or whatever.
Yeah.
But I felt like Minnesota felt like just the wrong matchup for the Astros. I don't get that same sense from the Rangers, and not just based on the season, but even though they swept the Orioles, they had a bullpen that almost blew a 9-run lead. And then last night they were up 7-1, but the tying run was in the hole.
Yeah.
Because the bullpen just can't. And I don't know that bullpen survives over 7 games.
And not maybe against the Astros. The thing to me about the Orioles is they're all young. I think they have like 3 rookies in the starting lineup. And I thought about it. I go, you know, they have to wait a week, and then they play Texas, who has, you know, $1 billion, or I don't know. They have tons of money invested in these veteran players. They got Evaldi, and they got a lot of good pitchers. And I think the stage was too big for them. I didn't think that they could handle it, and they really didn't. I picked the Orioles just out of spite, more likely, but I wouldn't take too much from the sweeping of the Orioles, because, you know, I think the stage was too big for them.
It definitely felt that way. And it felt like that a lot of those young guys got a lot of valuable playoff experience that I don't think that's a team that's going away until it's time for them to start trading them away, because they won't re-sign those guys. Like, Baltimore fan, that's the reality sometimes. I don't take a lot away from Texas sweeping Tampa Bay either, because that was a team that was just beat up when that series started. So, you know, I think I saw somebody, he follows both of us, Corey on Twitter, said that the Astros will be the first ones to play an entire 7-game series at home, considering they consider the whatever we're calling Jerry Jones's tool shed our home, are also our home.
Oh, yeah.
But,
and we won all these games with Maldi catching.
Well, and that's the thing. And like to me, I understand the calls for Yannier, but if that doesn't happen in July or August, it's not going to happen now, and it shouldn't. Like this is playoff time now, and I think he's a very talented kid, and I think it's going to be nice to have him at catcher down the road when he learns the position and really is good. But right now, I do want Maldonado limping this pitching staff through, particularly when 1 through 8 are now producing.
Yeah.
Maldonado only matters when you're only getting production out of 3 other guys in the lineup. When you're getting 1 through 8, just stand up there and bunt every time. Don't worry about, just do that. Yeah. And we're going to be good.
He stuck out like a sore thumb earlier in the season when we're only like 1 through 6 deep. That's get him out of there. And I agreed with everybody. It's like, it's fine. But, you know, you saw in the Javier game, even the announcers noticed it. You know, he went out there and calmed Javier down, and he got out of the out of trouble. But they mentioned one thing on tonight's episode, not episode, on the game tonight. I'm used to saying that.
Yeah.
Another reason it was so big to win tonight is that sets us up for JV in game 1.
Yeah, I mean, JV in game 1, and I know that Fromber had not a great game in game 2, but you still, here's your game 2 starter. You have to dance with who brung you. And it does look like, I mean, now it lines up where you've got Justin and Fromber and then Christian and Urquidy, and then I guess you're back to Justin again. Like, it does line up perfectly. I know that there's talk that Scherzer might be back for the Rangers. I don't know if that's going to happen. And I don't know what he can give you, having not played in 6 weeks, I guess it is. But obviously baseball can happen, but you have to feel like everything's lined up the way you want it to be to at least get back to the World Series.
And if you guys saw JV's toast in the locker room, that's how I talk in real life, folks. I use that word as an adjective all the time, not even mad. But to me, I think the coolest toast I've heard in forever is when we won the division, Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
People are wondering, how's it going to feel? Or how's it going to be, right? How's it going to be? Whatever.
If the Astros aren't
the Astros don't win the division.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I guess we'll never know. Like, that was an amazing toast.
It was. I do like JV's tonight, and the Big Papi said he would pay his fine. So that's good.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah. Big Papi said he's now a resident of Houston and he's going to pay JV's fine for the FCC. So I'm sure JV's got plenty of that. Well, JV and Kate Upton money, but go for it, Big Papi. We appreciate it.
They weren't even bleeping it out. And I was like, what? This shit.
I think they're getting a little slow. The FCC's got the same staffing shortage as everybody else does. Nobody's on that bleep button anymore.
So what is today? Wednesday? So we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We got 3 days to rest.
Mm-hmm.
We need rest, but three games to get ready for this. And it's on a Sunday. That's pretty great. Game one, you can have a cookout. You can get together with friends on a Sunday night. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. And then, you know, the more important games that I've been looking at is that game five will be the rehearsal dinner for my daughter's wedding, who is a massive Astros fan up there in Oregon. And but on the day of the wedding, it's a travel day. So it's like the baseball gods have smiled upon us and said, enjoy your wedding day. Game six and seven, if necessary, we'll start the next day.
So the wedding's on the 21st then.
Wedding's on the 21st. So she has requested I wear the Astros championship belt buckle with my suit. And who am I to turn down the request of a daughter? So.
All right. That's all I have, buddy. I'll give you the floor to say whatever you want to say about the season, about the Astros, and whatever you want to say.
I want to get a little emotional, and I want to, first of all, again, guys, don't take this for granted, but I want to thank you, Rob, because I feel like, you know, we have our show, you have your show, but I feel like the sense of let's be positive about this team is what's driving you. And it, to me, that's why I like listening, because I cannot stand the world's already so negative. I want Astros to baseball to be my refuge. So I thank you for doing all of that, man, and being a big part of our own baseball career. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
I do every time.
So what'd you do? You had the, let's talk about that. You had the let's get to or the, and now you changed it.
So we did the finale.
I have so many questions about what you do.
Okay. Well, I'm here to answer them.
Like, how do you do that? How do you travel to all these games? Is that your job?
So I own a production company, and the production company essentially pays for that. And I would say that the show makes enough to break even on the trips. And then we've been approached by a production company or distribution company, excuse me, that wants to see about us being like on Amazon Prime and things like that. And so we let Let's Get To kind of end because we needed a tighter format. We needed a more focused format. We also didn't want any baggage, and we needed an identity that anyone would understand, not just, oh, I know Bull Durham, so I get the reference to the title of the show.
Yeah.
And so the show will be called Ballpark Nation. We've got 20 trips. It's actually going to allow us to do, we're going to have an Astros episode at Minute Maid Park. And I'm very excited, a Yankee Stadium episode as well. So we're going to hit the ground running again in April. And then our first show will be May 9th of next year. And we'll do 20 episodes, about 30 minutes each. And then we'll have our other stuff going too. But hopefully the Longhorns can keep me going for the rest of the year. And then we'll hit the ground running.
Oh, yeah. We just missed that. That was last weekend. That went well for one of us and not well for the other. But
no, but you know what?
It was a great game.
It was a great game. And I'll say this about my big compliment to OU is I've seen an up-tempo offense before, but I've never seen anything like that. Like, I have never seen a team that quick to get on the ball and snap the ball. And every time that referee would hold the ball for a second to spot it, I was like, thank God that we have a little bit of time. I've never seen a team move like that before. It was incredible. Yeah.
We just turned this into the Red River rivalry show, folks. But when I was watching the game, and I'm sure there's fans listening, but to me, and I don't know, like, if you see it through different eyes as a fan of the other team, it's like, I'm telling my buddy, I'm like, we can't move the ball on them. Like, the only, you know, the thing that helped us is the three turnovers, or this wouldn't even be close. Like, and then for them to move to go down the field in 1 minute was just, I couldn't believe they did it. Yeah.
Well, no, and I think that's what makes that game so exciting, because, you know, like, Urs had the one interception that was not his fault, right? The deflection off a tight end's hand. But the other one was one of the worst passes I've ever seen thrown at the college football level ever. I mean, there are literally more OU guys than there were Longhorns. I don't know. You're not John Elway, buddy. Calm down with this with this thing. But then you're right. Like, the horns go down and you start thinking they left too much time. That's what so whenever they kicked off, I knew it was over. When it was like a minute and a half over, I told Jessica, like, the game's over. Texas is going to lose. There's really that's how, and I think it's a very good Longhorn team. I think we'll have this conversation again in December in Dallas.
Yeah. They're going to face each other again. The way are. There's no conferences or anything. So
The Big 12 does it silly. Like
I would say watching the game, no matter who won, it looked like Texas had the better team. But like I said, I look at it through different eyes because I see how good you are. And I'm like, man, they're really good. And I think I think you nitpick all the negative things from your own team. I think that might be what it is.
Well, you know, Andy, who does our Astro show and our football show, kept saying, don't worry about it. You're going to win by 10. And I'm like, I don't need an Aggie telling me that this is going to happen. I need you to go back to College Station and just focus on not beating Alabama so we can.
Are you excited about that? The SEC, A&M, and Texas getting back together?
I'll tell you what.
It's
going to
be fun. No?
No, I'm not. And I like the OU rivalry. The A&M rivalry kind of annoys me. I think, I don't know what it is about it. I don't love going to the SEC. Because there was rumor that OU and Texas might go to the Big Ten, and I was kind of fired up about that, like big state schools. I know OU has a good academic reputation. Texas has a very good academic reputation. I don't like that side of it. Well, we're going to go hang out with the Ole Misses of the world. Like, that's the part of it.
I wish they'd stay in the Big 12. I really like the teams that they brought in.
Well, and remember, like, years ago, Texas and OU were saying, add more teams, and they didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And now, you'd bring it in Houston. That's fun. I'd like them to stay too, honestly.
Yeah. They finally make the conference more fun when they're going to leave.
Shuffle out.
Too late. All right, buddy. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. It was so much fun talking to you. You're a great guest to have on and a great guy. And good luck with the new show, or the same show with the
old
new
show,
name.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Guys like minor league baseball, you'd be super jealous of this guy because he's living it up over there.
Living it up. Go Erie Seawolves.
Erie Seawolves. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Astros, 7th American League championship in a row. We'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.